Good morning. We welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you have joined us this morning. This morning, I'd like to talk about Paul's statement in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where he writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." This morning, we're glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I'd like to talk about how that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. You know, the word ashamed means that we fear to be identified with something, or we are embarrassed to be identified with something. And Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He didn't fear being associated with the gospel. He was not embarrassed to be associated with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about how that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. And there are different elements of the gospel that Paul was not ashamed of, and there are several that we would like to look at this morning. And as we go through, we ask the question, are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we ashamed to be identified with the New Testament teaching of Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed to obey the Lord and be a part of His body, His church? Are we ashamed to live by the gospel each day when others around us are not? It's a good question for us to ask. And the reason it is important to ask that question is that if we are ashamed of the Lord's gospel in this life, we cannot be with Him in the next life. If we deny Him in this life, He will deny us before the Father in the judgment day. We need to remember Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father who is in heaven." We do not need to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We need to identify Him with Him and confess Him to others, to stand with Him. There are several things that Paul was not ashamed of with in relationship to the gospel. Number one, Paul was not ashamed of the basis of the gospel. What makes the gospel the good news? Jesus and His death on the cross is the basis of the New Testament teaching. The gospel is called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. There are several passages that tell us about the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the good news about how that He came and died on the cross for our sins. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, "For I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He hath been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until now, but some are fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, as to the child untimely born, He appeared to me also." And so the death, burial, resurrection, and eyewitnessing of Jesus Christ, that becomes the basis of the gospel that Paul preached to the Corinthians and others. You know, some are ashamed of the basis of the gospel. They have turned to other saviors. They have turned to other gospels. Paul talks about another Jesus, preaching another Jesus, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. He talks about how that it is accursed, it is wrong to preach another gospel, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Some are ashamed of the Jesus of Scripture and the Jesus of the gospels, and they turn from that and they invent other man-made saviors and other man-made gospels, but Paul was not ashamed of the basis of the gospel, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Number two, Paul was not ashamed of the wisdom of the gospel. You know, the wisdom of the gospel is God's wisdom, God's thinking on how to be saved, and it involves believing in Jesus who died on a cross. And when Paul preached the gospel, there were some who didn't like that. Some Jews and some Greeks did not like the fact that a Savior would die on the cross. That just didn't match up with their human wisdom and their Greek way of thinking, or the Roman way of thinking, or the Jewish way of thinking. And so the wisdom of the gospel, of God's gospel, is often contrary to the way man thinks. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God. It was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Seeing that Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto Jews a stumbling block, and unto Gentiles foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then Paul comes on to say in chapter 2, he writes in chapter 2 and verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so some are ashamed of the wisdom of the gospel, that is, Christ crucified on a cross. And they are ashamed of that, and they have turned to man's wisdom in religious and spiritual matters, what they think and what they feel and what religious scholars say and religious gurus say. And so they're really ashamed of the wisdom that is found in God's Word. And so Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to naught. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory. And he goes on to talk about how that he revealed God's wisdom in the gospel. And so, Paul was not ashamed of the wisdom of the gospel. Number three, Paul was not ashamed of the supernatural miracles involved in the gospel. We read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4 earlier. The gospel stands upon the supernatural resurrection and revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus was raised from the grave on the third day. And that is a miracle. And it was the miracle of the resurrection that demonstrated that Jesus was the divine Son of God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Who was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And so some are ashamed of the supernatural element of the gospel, the miracles, and so they deny the miracles. They say that the Bible is just simply a product of man and there were no miracles performed. Some are ashamed, or they begin to doubt, or they abandon altogether the supernatural miracles. And this was actually what led to a philosophy known as modernism in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Those who claimed to be religious scholars denied the miraculous in both the Old and the New Testament. It didn't match up with science. It didn't match up with their human thinking. And so some are ashamed of the supernatural element of the gospel, but Paul was not. Jesus appeared to him. He knew that this was real. He knew that the resurrection was real. And then he turned around and began to preach that to others. We don't need to be ashamed. The Bible is the very Word of God. It's God breathed. It's inspired. 1 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired of God, literally meaning God breathed. We have the very Word of God. We can rely upon it, and it is an accurate record of those things that took place, and some of those things were miraculous in nature, and we have the eyewitness testimony recorded of these miraculous events. Paul, number four, was not ashamed of the oneness of the gospel. When individuals from different backgrounds obey the gospel, it doesn't matter what their color is, their social background, their economic background, their personal backgrounds. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter where they come from in the world. They can all be one in Jesus Christ. When we obey the gospel, there is a oneness. There is a unity there. And Paul was not ashamed of that. Many people even today are socially prejudiced. They are racially prejudiced against certain individuals. We should not be that way. We're all made from one, Adam and Eve. We're all made by God. Acts chapter 17, Paul says that we all come from one pair, Adam and Eve. And it doesn't matter our color, our background, we're all made in the image of God. And we can all be united in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, that allows us to be one. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. In the body there is the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. The church is his body, and in the church we can be one, regardless of our color or our background. And Paul was not ashamed of that oneness. In chapter 3 and verse 6 of Ephesians, Paul says that all men can be fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6, Paul writes, there is one body, talking about the church, one spirit, Holy Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, that's heaven, one Lord, Jesus, one faith, that's the body of teaching in the New Testament. One baptism. Baptism in Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. One God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. And earlier in chapter 4 verses 1 and 2, Paul says to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit. We can be one. We can be united in Jesus Christ. But some are ashamed and have found it easier to be divided than united upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was not ashamed of the product of the gospel. What is produced when a person obeys the gospel? They become a Christian only. They do not wear any denominational names today, even in Springfield, Robertson County, other places. There's all kinds of different denominational names. People call themselves by different things. But the gospel simply makes one a Christian. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. There were no other denominational names that they had. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, Agrippa said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. He didn't mention any of the other denominational names that exist today because they didn't exist then. That came after the New Testament teaching. And so we should want to just simply be a Christian. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16 that if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God in this name. You see, not denominational names, but just simply being a Christian, a member of the Lord's church. You know, we all understand the idea of planting a seed in the ground, and whatever seed we plant, that's the kind of plant we're going to get. If we plant a corn seed, we're going to get corn. If we plant a watermelon seed, we're going to get watermelon and so forth on down the line. A seed produces after its kind. And the seed is the Word of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 in the parable of the sower. The seed is the Word of God. And when that seed is planted, all it produces is just simply a Christian. But some are ashamed of that, and they've promoted their denominational names. They've promoted their world religions. We have all kinds of world religions. You don't have to be a Christian. You could be a Buddhist. You could be a Hindu. You could be a Muslim. You can be all kinds of things. And even those who claim to follow Jesus Christ, there's all kinds of denominational names and churches and creeds and books that are written by different denominations. Paul simply preached being a Christian, and he was not ashamed of that, and we should not be ashamed of that either. And we should just simply promote undenominational Christianity, being a Christian without being a member of any man-made denomination. Paul was not ashamed of the terms of the gospel, things that must be done in order to obey. We must hear and believe the gospel, Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. We must repent of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. We must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins upon hearing the gospel, Mark 16, verse 16, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Acts chapter 22, verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And then we must live faithfully thereafter as a faithful child of God. And so these are the terms of the gospel, and we must meet those terms. We must accept those terms. But you know, some are ashamed and they've changed those things and they have eliminated things like baptism. Some preachers and pastors and reverends and different kinds of teachers will say, you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. And so they change the terms of the gospel. They're ashamed, really, of what is there, and they have changed that through their man-made teaching. Paul, number 7, was not ashamed of the power of the gospel. The gospel has the power to change a person. He knew that full well. He was someone who went about persecuting members of the church and getting them and putting them in prison. He made a 180-degree change. He turned completely around. He saw the resurrected Lord on the road to Damascus. He was told to go into Damascus, and Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. He completely changed his life. He completely turned around. And he knew the power of the gospel. The gospel has a power to change a person and make them a better person, make them a Christian. And so Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There is no other thing that must be appealed to. But you know, some are ashamed of that, and they have turned to entertainment. They've turned to fun and games. They've turned to food and fun to try to get people to come and hear the word of God and obey it. There's all kinds of things. And many churches have turned to all kinds of social and recreational events. The gospel alone is the power of God to save a person from their sins, and no other social and recreational things are needed, and they're not authorized. Now, there's a time and place in our private lives to enjoy a good meal. I enjoy that, and getting together to play games and have a good time and sports and that type of thing, as long as the entertainment and recreation is wholesome and something that a Christian should be doing, that's fine. But those things are not what the church uses to save mankind. It is the gospel. Number 8, Paul was not ashamed of the demands of the gospel. You know, we have to live a certain way according to God's word. We have to walk uprightly according to the gospel. The gospel is a part of God's kingdom, and God is king, and he's made his son Jesus a lawgiver. The New Testament is law, and we need to remember that. And so there are demands, there are responsibilities and requirements that we must meet each day in order to be a faithful Christian. Paul, if you turn over to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Philippians 1, 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one soul striving for the faith of the gospel. So we have to walk worthily of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that means we walk by meeting its demands. Some are ashamed of that, and they have abandoned their New Testament responsibilities and requirements and rules. And some people say, well, there are no rules that we must live by in the New Testament, and that is simply not true. The Apostle Paul laid down many responsibilities and requirements in the epistles that he wrote to churches and to individuals, many, many responsibilities and requirements, and he was not ashamed to mention those things and tell people, encourage people that they must do those very things. You know, the Apostle Paul, number 9, was not ashamed of the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is to be preached and proclaimed even today. We still need to go into all the world and preach the gospel like the apostles did long ago. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Paul said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 and verse 23. He felt it an obligation to preach to others. And we need to have that same obligation to talk with others about the Word of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, right before the scripture that we've been reading this morning, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." If you back up to verse 14 and 15, Paul says, "I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are in Rome." He made it his very being. He gave it his all, 100%. And he realized the importance of preaching to others. He asked that others would pray for him that he might speak the word with all boldness, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. He was always asking others to pray for him that doors of opportunity would be open to preach the word, Colossians chapter 4. Verse 3 and following. You know, some today, I believe, are ashamed. They've stopped telling others about the Word of God. You know, we can be what is called a full-time preacher or minister in the New Testament, though that was something that was given to men, and that was authority that they had. But even individually, we can, outside the church assembly, we can talk with others about the Word of God. We can invite people to services. We can sit down and have a Bible study with someone. We can teach others the Word of God. Paul was not ashamed of that, and neither should we be. I think sometimes people get ashamed of that and they stop telling their neighbors the most important message that they need to hear. Number 10, Paul was not ashamed of the defense of the gospel, to give a defense. He defended the New Testament gospel when it needed defending. There were times when people were teaching error and he stood up to them. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5. He did not want error to be taught. No, not for an hour. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, Paul was in prison for his work of preaching the gospel. And we find in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul talks about how that you had fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel in verse 5. And if you come on down, he talks about my bonds in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul defended the gospel. And in verse 16, Philippians 1:16, I am set for the defense of the gospel. The word defense there literally means an apologetic, to state your case for the gospel, defend the truth of the gospel. And Paul was not ashamed of that. We should not be ashamed of defending the truth, taking the Word of God and opening it up and pointing out truth and using truth to denounce the errors of men. I think sometimes people feel that that is maybe ugly or combative or being upset or mean, and we just simply need to understand that it is not. Both Jesus and Paul and other New Testament preachers, they simply defended the truth of the gospel. They did not do that in a mean way. They weren't yelling and being mean, but just simply stood for the truth. And Paul was not ashamed of that. Number 11, Paul was not ashamed to suffer for the gospel. If we stand up for what is right, and especially if we defend what is right, there may be times that we might have to suffer for that. Paul suffered physically for his stand for the gospel, and he suffered in many kinds of ways. And we need to remember that he was not ashamed of that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul writes, "For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God. And so do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. There are going to be people who poke fun at that, make fun of that. There may come a time when Christians, even in our society, might have to suffer more for being a Christian. We know that in other parts of the world, especially, there are some who are Islamic, who are Muslim, and they are using their Muslim faith. Some call it radical Islam, but they're doing that to kill those who claim to be Christians. And so people will suffer for the cause of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, Paul writes to Timothy, "You did follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, sufferings, what things befell me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of all of them the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So Paul was not ashamed to suffer for the Lord. He knew that he would be rewarded eternally for that. And when we have to suffer for the gospel, Mark chapter 8, 35, Mark chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus said, "When you suffer for my sake and for the gospel's sake, you will receive eternal life." Some are ashamed, and they've abandoned the gospel so that they don't have to suffer for Christ. But we must never do that. And then last of all, number 12, the Apostle Paul was not ashamed of the hope of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, we're told about the hope of the gospel, which is laid up for us in heaven. We have a heavenly home. Paul writes, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." And then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, "If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister." And so we have the hope of going to heaven. But some, being ashamed of that hope of heaven, that basic Bible truth, they have settled for something less. They teach other things. Some people teach that we're going to come back and live on the earth. Some people teach that we're going to go to a place called Nirvana. Some people teach that we're going to go to paradise with 70 virgins and then on and on and on. But there is one hope, and that is the hope of being with God around His throne in heaven for all eternity. Friend, are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed to obey it? We must never be ashamed to obey the gospel. Are you ashamed to take a stand for it? Are you ashamed to read it and study it and put it into practice in your life? Are you ashamed to live as a Christian? We call upon you this morning to not be ashamed like Paul, but hear it, believe it, obey it, put it into practice in your life. It is the gospel that saves us. And if we can help you in doing that, contact us. And we have our website. You can contact us. We have the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ right here in Springfield, Tennessee, 2509 Memorial Boulevard. Come visit us. I'd be glad to come study with you. But let us not be ashamed of the gospel. Thank you very much for your kind attention this morning.